Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line, the coach himself, Coach John Brady, LSU men's basketball color analyst. And Coach, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, doing great. Glad to be on with you guys.
Coach, man, this season sort of fell apart, and it did quickly, and injuries certainly had a part in it. I talked to Coach McMahon. I think it was New Year's Eve. I get a text back, yeah, I'll do it this afternoon. So he comes on that afternoon. He seemed very upbeat about the season, but kind of what went wrong here, Coach? And it just, like, it really never gelled. There were times where you thought maybe they could make a little bit of a run, but the injury part certainly got involved.
Yeah, I don't believe you can analyze this team fairly unless you take into account Reed, our 6'10", 250-pound third-year player, didn't play. He played three or four games and then tore his Achilles and was out for the year. And then the point guard that was really making a difference in our team and made a difference in our 12-1 start, he plays two SEC games, and then he's out for the year with an operation on his foot. So to evaluate this team without taking that into consideration, I think you're being unfair to the coaching staff and the players. But to take it to another level, I think when you evaluate this team, we got in a situation, and people that are around sports and around teams, been part of teams, when things are going well, you find a way to win. I mean, the best teams I had at LSU, we just found a way to win when things were going right. This team got into a rut where we couldn't win close games. We had some opportunities in the league to do that, but we weren't able to make the right plays. I made the comment yesterday after watching us play against Kentucky. If you watch Kentucky today, you think they're a pretty good team. And if you didn't know anything about Kentucky or LSU yesterday and you watched that game, you would think that's two pretty good teams playing basketball. Neither team turned it over carelessly or needlessly. They took good shots. They made some difficult shots. So you would think LSU's a pretty good team. But like in several other games this year, when it came down to a five-minute game, we weren't able to win the game. But I think our team was coached well enough to win it. One of the things we don't have because of our point guard being out and Reed being out was our inability to have better players. We don't have a go-to guy. McKinnon established himself as that later on in the year, but certainly we don't have a player that's really all-league, first-team all-league, and we definitely don't have a pro on the team. And in this league, if you don't have a first-team all-league player or you don't have a couple of guys that have a chance to play in the NBA, it's tough to win.
Coach, you and I have had this conversation before. It is a bottom-line business. You know it as well as anybody. And the fans' patience today, it ain't much. so to speak, you glad they're doing something else and not operating on you sometimes. But you understand the angst of watching this team over the last couple years. And, you know, because when Coach McGann came in, there was so much expectation of what he had done before and that he could turn the program around, and that just really never happened. But you understand why. You hear so much outside noise because of the fact, you know it, it's a bottom-line business. You got to win or they get somebody else to take your place.
Yeah, in today's world, in today's college athletics, whether it's football, basketball, and it's more difficult than basketball because of the numbers are so small. But when you're paying coaches a lot of money, and everybody knows they're paying players a lot of money, the expectation level rises and the patient level lowers. And it's just what you said, Mike. I mean, the difference in if you don't do it in 4 years, you know, you're a bum now, and then we're going to move on and do something else because the money involved makes it a little tainted to me. And expectations are high, patience is low, and if you don't do it pretty quick with the fan base wanting to win because of all of that, you get yourself in a tough spot. And that's what's happened to the LSU basketball team. You know, people forget the two players that were injured were starters for our team, and we just didn't have the depth to overcome that. And then Matt's fourth year here, here's the problem that I see overall. In Matt's fourth year here, we have not had a first-team all-league player. We have not had a player drafted first or second round. And regardless of whether you think he can coach or not at this level, if you don't have the personnel and you evaluate wrong, certainly you can't put a team together that can win close games in a league like this.
Yeah, Coach, I agree with you. The evaluation part and developing that talent is certainly part of it. The other thing, too, when you kind of walk in the moccasins of a very popular coach that was there before, mm-hmm. and then you seeing him have success, you know, in your own state at McNeese, and then, you know, he goes on to North Carolina State, that's also added pressure, too. But the development part, I think you brought up a great point that evaluation, development, recruit and develop, Saban used to say that all the time, was the keys to winning in any sport. You haven't seen that in LSU men's basketball.
Well, and I think a lot of to do that with in this day and age, Mike, is players aren't here long enough to watch them and have the time to develop them. I mean, the evaluation now is so important because if, like our basketball team this year at LSU, for example, we got 9 players that are done. We've got to go out and get 9 or 10 more. There may be a player or two leave. We may have to get 10 or 11 new players. And if you don't evaluate right and you miss on a majority of those players, you have a lot of wasted money sitting on the bench that can't play. That will get the administration upset. And then if you don't evaluate and get those guys in there and put them together and make a team in about 4 or 5 months, the coaches that can do that and have a flair for that are the ones that are going to be successful and win.
Coach, listening to what you're saying, am I trying to guess in kind of reading your words that you expect Matt would return next year at LSU?
I don't know that. It depends on which faction you talk to around LSU. There's some that are saying he deserves a chance to come back because of the injury situation. You can't fully evaluate it. There's some that say he's been here 4 years and we haven't made a dent in terms of moving up in the standings and that he's had enough time to prove himself. So it just depends. I think – you know, I don't get paid at that level to make those decisions, and they certainly hadn't asked me my opinion. So I'm just going to remain neutral on this. But what you said about Will Wade is a factor in there, too, that he popular here. People wanted the school to stand by him. Some schools stood by their coach. Our school did not stand by him and let him go. And he has his popularity really has grown to me with him not being here. And having the success that he's had away from LSU. So, you know, we'll see how all that plays out. You've heard the rumors. I've heard the rumors. I've heard the talk. I read it like anybody else. It'll be an interesting next 3 or 4 weeks to see what happens.
Charlie?
You know, Coach, I wanted to bring you back because if you're looking back at the SEC schedule, there was a game that Steve and I were watching one night as Sports Talk was kind of winded down. It was the Kentucky game at the PMAC where you get off mm-hmm. to the 0-3 start in conference play, and it really did feel like a swing game where LSU was in control for most of it, and then all of a sudden at the very end of the game, you know, you miss a couple free throws, and then Kentucky has a crazy inbounds pass, and they hit a game winner. And the sinking feeling from going from, oh, you're staring at 1-3, and maybe you can start to climb out of the early hole that you put yourself in, to, oh no, you're 0-4. And I know they ended up winning that next game at Missouri, so it wasn't the end of the world. But, I mean, Coach, you talked about losing close games. That one specifically felt like a real, real early death knell in the SEC schedule that kind of led to this team going 3-15 in conference play.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. You know, if you go back to the opening game at A&M, we have a 2-point lead with about 2 minutes to go, let's say. We spit the ball out 3 straight times. They scored it on turnovers, and they beat us at College Station. And we come home and play A&M into a triple overtime and can't win the game because we don't know how. Mm-hmm. But that Kentucky game, that, you know, when you're up 1 point with 2 seconds to go or 1.8 to go and the team's got to go full court, this is what I said on the radio. I said, I'm gonna explain this to you in football terms because everybody listening understands football. Some of you don't understand basketball. What you can't do, it's like a prevent defense. You can't let the ball go over your head. You've got to keep the ball in front. Well, they throw it long. We try to steal it. It goes over our head. They turn and shoot it. And it was a crushing defeat for a team that deserved to win by how well we played. But you've got to finish games. And that was the start of us not knowing how to win and finishing some of the games that we possibly could have won. I believe this now. If we'd had our two players, our point guard who's really good, and we'd had Reed all year, we won three league games. I think conservatively speaking, we could have won four more league games, been 7-11. Let's say we upset somebody and we're 8-10. You know, people are talking about us and how well we've improved. But we weren't able to do it. The injuries did happen. And it's an unfair, crucial, tough business now, and it's so fragile. And Matt McMahon has found himself in a fragile situation by two players not playing and losing a bunch of close games. And, you know, at this level, you know, it happens. And it's just too bad it's happened to him and his staff.
Coach, I didn't get a chance to send you this text, but when I got told you were going to be in the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame,
woo-hoo,
I couldn't be more thrilled for you. So now when people ask for your autograph, you get to put that L-A-H-O-F by it, and you can charge them a dollar more.
Yeah, that's my M.O. I charge for my autographs. If I did that, I'd be on welfare. I'd be broke or something. But I appreciate that. You know, I tell you, Mike, that every time that is mentioned to me, it's like being in the – they put me in the LSU Sports Hall of Fame, and this came right behind it to be in the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. Every time that's mentioned to me, I almost get emotional. I mean, it's you know, it's something you never expect, and to have that type of honor is really humbling and appreciative and so grateful. And all the things that I went through at LSU, with that on top of it, it was all worth it. you know, to be able to do what we were able to do and even take the heartache that was with it, it makes it all worth it, and I'm really appreciative of that whole situation.
Coach, you deserve to be in there, and we are going to get you on. I want you to tell us stories about as a coach. So we'll get you back, and I want you to do that. And, man, again, congratulations. Well-deserved for you to go into the Hall of Fame. And I was thrilled that you were able to get in.
Well, I appreciate it, Mike. Y'all are kind. And tell my friend Bobby hello when you see him, okay?
I will. I think you might have a chance to see him before I do sometimes. Thank you, Coach. I appreciate
okay,
it.
Man. Anytime.
Thanks, all Coach. Right.
Coach John Brady, now you hear him on the men's basketball games, color analyst. Does a great job. Never did it before. And listen to him. Man, if he wanted to, he could be a national guy if he pushed this. He is that good calling basketball games.